Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with our host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And before we start, Dad, I want to say there are a bunch of reasons that I admire you, but one of them is because you are willing to take on issues that most people won't touch. Mm.
That's true.
Well, thank you for saying that, Ryan, because we are about to hear one of those topics today discussed. We're going to hear the second half of an interview that is controversial and that other programs might not be willing to talk about or deal with. This one focuses on the subject of the women's movement and a book that was written by Diane Pazno called Feminism, Mystique or Mistake. Mm-hmm. And in that book and on this program, she shared her view of the modern feminist movement in a very critical way and how it has really failed women.
Well, so listeners can already see why that viewpoint might not be incredibly popular in our politically correct age, Doctor. But I, too, just want to echo what Ryan said and add a big thank you on behalf of the female listeners for not being afraid to address issues like this that are at the core of who we are as women.
Hmm. You know, Luann, truth is unity. And when you get it right, there will not be a contradiction within it because it all comes from the Creator himself. And I think there are principles in the scriptures that we need to look at before we swallow all of the ideas and concepts that came along in the late 60s and 70s and are still very much with us today, having to do with the roles of women and how they should see themselves.
And who better to help us with that task than Diane Pazno, a woman who has raised two daughters with her husband, Paul, and also achieved amazing professional success as well.
Well, Diane worked for me for 28 years, Ryan, and at one point in her career, she had 900 employees under her supervision. She retired a few years ago, although she still does some teaching, and she's very involved with her church here in Colorado Springs. I also hear that she and her husband, Paul, are very much enjoying their two little grandchildren, and I get that.
I think you do.
What a good woman Diane is.
Oh, she's a dear friend to many of us here, Doctor, and has much wisdom to share from her lifetime of experience. I would just highly encourage listeners to get a CD or listen online to the first half of this discussion. And of course, you can do so at drjamesdobson.org or via the Family Talk app.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dad, present during the conversation you had with Diane were a large group of college-age students, and today we're going to hear many of the questions they had for our guest. So let's get started with the first one here on this Family Talk broadcast.
What responsibility is there for Christian scholars, women, to step into the academia and just try to have an influence that counters the feminist ideology and philosophy that's
It's a wonderful question. I think it's very scary, first of all, because it's a David and Goliath situation, because you will be in the minority and you need to understand that. I think my first bit of advice to you would be, so it's not so scary, is to get involved in a Christian organization on campus, Navigators, Campus Crusade, Young Life, so that you're not David and Goliath. You're several Davids against Goliath. Because if you can mobilize women who are like-minded to confront the Women's Studies Department in a university and say, you know, you're one-sided. You're giving me one side of this issue. Your teaching is not open-minded. It doesn't consider my worldview. And my advice to you is just to get together with some of your Christian friends and go in force. You'll need comrades.
Getting to the heart of her concern is that there should be, hopefully, women on those university campuses that share the worldview of some of the students. I know when I first went to the University of Southern California, I was registering as a graduate student and scared half to death. There were 30,000 students around me. I didn't know what I was going to be expected to do. I didn't know what contradictions to my faith would occur. And, you know, you always wonder if you can make it in that environment. And that very night, a professor who was just a few years older than I am, but had gone on and gotten his PhD, was on the faculty there at USC in my field. And he recognized me and came up and said hello to me and said, come on up to my office. And here's a guy who believed exactly what I believed, who essentially put his arm around me and said, you know, God's put you here and we'll work on this thing together. Boy, you talk about an oasis in the midst of a desert. Mm-hmm. That's what it was for me. And so to have these godly professors, even though they're in the minority, there to assist and give encouragement
cheer
to students
on.
who are trying to make it there, mm-hmm. is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about being such a woman?
Yes.
Are you really?
I was considering psychiatry, actually, as a career, but I think that's as a trying to avoid, I don't know, just the vulnerability of being a mother. I mean, I say vulnerable because I feel like it's such a lower position, you know, a lower place in society. And
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. Yeah. But it's hard when you're not supported. Mm-hmm. Here, I feel supported. You know, mm-hmm. to say that I want to be a mom and have kids, but I feel so demeaned if I'm with other people that are challenging me with all these other ideas and philosophies. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know what's happening over and over now is that young women hear this message and they either postpone or decide not to have babies. And then at 33 and 34 and 35, they start to panic and they realize they've missed an opportunity and it's getting very late. And there are many childless women today who would love to hold a baby. And they were sold a lie, I think, in the early days. And I resent the lies that are being told to the young women that are out there, because in 20 years, they will regret it. Many of them will regret it and it'll be too late.
I resent the lies that are fed to the young men as well, because we have a generation of men who don't know what it means to make a commitment, who don't know what it means to protect a family, who don't know what it means to cherish a woman and remain pure until marriage. The feminist movement has distorted so many things that were precious. Hmm. And that the Lord said in Scripture were precious.
Next question.
My question is, what can men in today's society do to reestablish the roles of men and women in society as they were intended by God?
I think the best person in the world to answer that question is James Dobson.
Well, God will give you the opportunities to defend the things that you believe, and you have to be ready to give an answer. You have to know what you believe. You have to have thought it out properly, and it has to be consistent with Scripture, and then grab the opportunities the Lord gives you. You're not going to change the whole world. I've been guilty of trying to do that on occasion. You can't change the whole world, but you can sure change your little corner of it and be useful to the Lord. And if no one responds, you've still done what he asked you to do. I think if you keep your eyes and ears open, you'll have an opportunity to do that. I just wish that more Christians saw that as their responsibility to defend the things they believe. Diane, they get intimidated by that same politically correct notion and keep it to themselves because they don't want to get hurt and embarrassed and ostracized. Who's next? Okay.
What is your advice to young women like myself who I'm not ready to be a mom and, you know, a wife, and I have aspirations and I do have longings and hopes and desires to do things. And, you know, is there a balance for that future, or your advice to me now as all of us, you know, just as singles and who are built with passions to serve the Lord and to do different things?
You have
good question.
Yes,
yeah.
It's wonderful. You have opportunities that women of my era never had, and so I can totally understand when you say I'm really not ready for marriage. I don't even have a boyfriend, and actually, I'm really looking forward to taking my education and having a great career. My caution to you would be this. Career isn't everything, and always use discernment in your professional life. Are you doing what you're doing because you're getting plaudits from your parents, from people you went to college with? Are you climbing up the corporate ladder because it's what you've been told is important? Just remember to submit yourself daily to the Lord. And he will guide you to where he wants you to be, because serving him is all that really matters, really, when you get right down to it.
Diane, until that relationship comes along, the person that you love, the person you want to marry and have children with, and maybe be a full-time homemaker or not, until that occurs, you would support her desire to press toward a career that uses these talents and skills that she's learned in school, and let the Lord lead, wouldn't you?
Let the Lord lead.
He says he will be a lamp unto your path. What that means to me is that he never reveals the horizon to us. You know, there's not a big headlight on your hat like a miner would have that shows far out into the future. He shows you one step at a time. Mm. That's all you see. He's a lamp unto your path. And you walk in the light that you have. Right now, there's no man in her life. And she has this desire inside to use her life productively. You would, I'm sure, suggest that she press ahead.
You have gifts that are unique to you. And if you give them to the Lord, he's going to make you shine like the noonday sun in whatever you choose to do. I would never, ever have anticipated being where I am today at your age. At your age, I was going to have marry my husband, have adorable babies, and maybe teach when they were raised. I never anticipated a career. But the Lord does surprising things when you submit to him. He orchestrates your days. But it's an act of submission, and you have to get yourself out of the way and let him work.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Next question.
I would have to admit, even when the ladies are introducing themselves to our class, we always say what our career goals are. And it's almost intimidating to say, well, when I grow up, I want to be a wife and a mom. And so it's almost like we've killed our hearts if we do have that desire and we're scared to say that. But you had mentioned that, you know, it has infiltrated the church. So my question is, how can the church bring back the heart to women, or what's the church's role in this?
That's a difficult question because of a dynamic in the church. There's this incredible tension between moms who stay at home and raise their children and moms who work and pursue a career. So when you ask what the church's role is, That's a difficult question, because you do have that subtle battle going on within the church, and you're not going to get a consistent response.
A lot of passion on both sides.
Exactly. And that's a hard question. Do you have anything you can add, Dr. Dobson?
Well, you're right, Diane. It is controversial. And if we bring homemakers in here to the studio and we talk about what their lives are like and we try to support them, we'll get an avalanche of mail from angry women who are angry at the women who are staying home and pointing a finger at them. On the other hand, if we bring the working women into the studio, and we've done that, then we get beat up from the other side. It is amazing what tension there is throughout society, and the church is really a product of the culture at large. And what that means for women this age right here is they're going to hear about everything in the church. And you have to decide what God's saying to you.
You're going
to
hear about everything, and what Dr. Dobson said is precisely true. You have to hear what God is saying to you. Because to say that all women in a congregation should stay home with children negates the ability of the Lord to orchestrate the lives of his people. There might be women in that congregation whom he wants in the workplace for very viable reasons to further his kingdom on earth. And so you cannot put people in boxes.
And we've got to be respectful to each other.
Exactly.
Whatever the decision is made, don't we? I mean, we've got it fixed so that everybody loses. The working woman feels guilty because she's not home taking care of her kids. And the woman who's home taking care of kids feels like she's wasting her life. Everybody loses.
Everybody.
And God didn't intend that. Next question.
I understand that your book addresses post-abortion stress and how you think that is affecting, is going to affect the abortion issue.
I think that is the deepest, darkest secret of the feminist movement, that women are suffering after having an abortion. They keep it a secret. Mm. I think Christians keep it a secret, too.
But they write to us, don't they, Diane?
They write to us. And Christians who work in crisis pregnancy centers, who are running post-abortion trauma classes, are seeing women now who had abortions back in the 70s when it was first made legal, and they are still suffering the after effects emotionally from that experience. But it's a secret. No one wants to talk about it, because to talk about it means that feminists were wrong about it. And their love affair with abortion is so important to them, they'll protect it at all costs, including that lie. They will lie to women to protect it.
And you know, Diane, I really believe that many pastors won't talk about abortion, not because they're afraid to deal with the legal and moral implications of it, but because they know their women throughout their congregations who have had abortions, who have been hurt by them, and they don't want to hurt them more, and so they don't raise the
issue.
Exactly. But it's better to turn a little light on. You know, sunshine is a marvelous healer, and it's better to take that to the Lord and cleanse it and let him have it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a mistake not to tell people that. Next question.
My concern is similar to Katie's in that I have a strong desire right now to pursue a career and to pursue higher education. And my question is, I wondered if you had any practical advice for a woman, a Christian woman in the workplace, on how to actively and even confidently pursue a career without falling into the trap of the feminist mentality, or the, or to even be associated with that, because it can be so destructive.
I think the most miserable women who I've ever worked with are those who accept what feminists say is important in the workplace and make that what's important to them. And I'll give you an example. There are young women who come to work, and their measure of success is how quickly they can climb the corporate ladder and how quickly they can get into supervisor and managerial positions, because that to them is success. And that is not success as measured by the Lord. The Lord might have you in a position, for example, as a writer or an artist or some other thing that is exactly perfect for your skill set, exactly where he wants you to be. And if you were to change positions and follow that dictate that you need to be climbing and you always need to be doing something different and aggressively pursuing the next step, you might be negating his plan for your life altogether. So just remember, it's not important what you've been told is important, that to succeed, get more money, climb up the ladder, have a title. That is not important.
And Diane, you of all people say that with the understanding that you began at probably the lowest position here, mm-hmm. or one of them, mm-hmm. and did climb the corporate ladder, mm-hmm. and did rise in salary and did rise in supervisorial responsibility and did get a title. But I have the feeling that that never was primary to you. I've never sensed that you were hammering for that.
Never mattered to me. Every time a job change was brought to my attention, I fought it, as a matter of fact. I didn't want to change because it was not a comfort zone.
I want to say something to the women who are here that I think is really important to understand. The longer you live, the faster life goes. And looking back on it, you realize how very, very brief a particular period of your life was. When you're your age and you're looking forward, it looks like 10, 15, 20 years is a long, long time. It is the blink of an eye. And you can devote yourselves to children, to raising those kids and giving them the best that you have. It's a short window of your life, and you've still got, by normal actuarials, how long you're expected to live, you've got a longer period of time to use the skills that you have and to develop those professional responsibilities. There's a lot left. You don't have to choose between children and a career, but you'd usually have to take the children first because the window closes on that one very, very quickly. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what you're trying to say in this book, Diane.
Well, there are many older feminists who are now looking back at their lives and questioning what they indoctrinated this generation with. And they're questioning it, and they're going, maybe I didn't have all the answers. And unfortunately, so many of them will never look to Christianity for the answers.
And their children are even more confused because they've gotten mixed messages.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion with which the early feminists started has now kind of diminished with time in the present generation. Maybe that's why you call your book Feminism Mystique or Mistake.
The great title.
The subtitle says Rediscovering God's Liberating Plan for Women. I know it was difficult for you to do this.
It was difficult, but I don't think people realize how well-read you are on the issue of feminism. They think that feminists, women, know women's issues, but Dr. Dobson has accumulated maybe more files than I have on the subject. You can talk about it just as well.
Well, I wrote my third book on that subject,
What
Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, which was really coming right out of the feminist movement. It was 1974 when I wrote it, and we were right in the thick of that philosophy, and I saw that it was flawed then, and that's what I was writing about way back then. You've come along and updated it. And, thanks, Diane, for being with us. Thank you, ladies and man, for being with us today and for participating in the broadcast. And we'll get together again. God's blessings to you, Diane.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, Luann, those young women asked some really great questions of our guest, Diane Pazno, here on this Family Talk broadcast. And I think those questions were probably on the minds of some of our listeners as well.
Well, and actually, Ryan, if they have even more questions, I just want to suggest some great follow-up reading. We have linked to where Diane's book can be found. It's called Feminism, Mystique, or Mistake. Mm-hmm. We've linked there from drjamesdobson.org. And of course, here at Family Talk, we would love to also point you to your dad's book, Dr. James Dobson's book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women.
Well, and you can ask about that when you call us. Our number is 877-732-6825, or of course at drjamesdobson.org. And while you're there, we'll have links to other programs we've featured on this topic, as well as an article written by my dad called Angry Women, Passive Men.
Ooh, that's quite a title. Unfortunately, it really ties into the topic of this broadcast today, Ryan. I would also just finally draw attention to one of our CD sets, which is designed specifically with women in mind and also ties into today's program. It's called The Heart of the Home.
And we're asking for a $30 suggested donation for that set. And I know some people look at that and say, wow, that's not very much money. Others think it is.
Absolutely.
But that's what allows us to continue to minister to families and wives and moms who really need that kind of encouragement and understanding, and we hope we've brought that in this broadcast today.
And we really do appreciate your financial support. You can find all of these resources we've mentioned online at drjamesdobson.org, or one last time, the phone number to call, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for spending time with us today, and we'll invite you to be back with us next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Well, hello, everyone. This is James Dobson, and I want to let you know about a powerful and patriotic movie called The Last Ounce of Courage. It's a family-friendly story about an American hero who stands up for his beliefs in a time of cynicism and fear. I assure you, you'll leave the theater with a sense of pride in our country. I've seen this very emotional movie, and I want to recommend it to you. So bring your church members, your organization, your family and friends, and take a stand for freedom, because that's what this movie is all about. Last Ounce of Courage premieres nationwide on September the 14th. And for more information, go to lastouncethemovie.com and treat the whole family to an inspirational night out.